Hi, everybody. I'm
Dolores, a very grateful compulsive overeater. Ouch. And trying to get my screen to work right. Well, anyway, I'll just talk. Thank you, Lisa, for asking me to speak. I've been in program 47 years. I'm 90 years old. Physically and mentally handicapped at times, but spiritually very strong. In fact, the gift of my being handicapped and not being able to run here, there, and everywhere and do as I please has enabled me, to have this great acceptance that I have today. I think of Christopher Reeves as Superman and how crippled he was. And I'm so grateful that I could walk to the bathroom and take a shower. I need to use my walker. I want to put all that out there. But spiritually, I'm very strong. The best I think I've been in my whole life. the topic of this workshop is on sponsorship. And I'd like to say that since I came into program 47 years ago, I've always worked the steps, the tools. I've never left the program, never left the rooms. Although I was a relapse survivor for a lot of years. My name is one. Oh, okay. I better just not look at my computer because it's not working right for me today. Okay. I worked all the tools, I worked the steps, I did everything I was supposed to do, but I wasn't really happy. There was something missing inside of me, but I kept coming back. I never left the rooms. And I sponsored the way OA suggested that I sponsor. You can't keep it if you don't give it away. Sponsorship is slimming, all those things. And I did it. And I think when we're new, we need to hear those directions so that we put aside our ego and put aside our self-will and start thinking of other people. But it wasn't until almost 5 years ago that I said to God, it was a New Year's Eve, and I was at a prayer gathering with some people took me. And I said to God, I want to love people the way you love me. I want to look into the eyes of people the way you look at me. And I had no idea what I was praying for. And so I read later this year, wasn't maybe this year or last year, I read Bill Wilson's article in The Next Frontier on Emotional Sobriety. And he said, I could not avail myself of God's love until I was able to offer it back to him by loving others as he would love me. And that was his prayer for emotional sobriety. And God gave that to me. And what emotional sobriety is, in the next line he says, and I couldn't possibly do that so long as I was victimized by false dependencies. For my dependencies meant demand. A demand for the possession and control of the people and the conditions surrounding me. That is the disease of codependency, which I see at the root of all my diseases. It's a disease of conditional love. You owe me. And if I'm loving to you, then you owe me. And there's almost like a demand inside of me. My mother's famous words used to be to me, oh, I did for you, and you speak to me this way. And that's a perfect example of it. And it took me 43 years because it's, almost 5 years ago that I realized I wasn't happy and something was missing. And I prayed that prayer on New Year's Eve, and God gave that to me. Today, I sponsor people, and I sponsor them with a love in my heart. When I see someone call me, and I know it's for help or for sponsorship, I immediately answer, whether I'm tired, whether I don't feel like it, because I love them. And this is the love, that God has put in my heart for people. And that's how I like to describe sponsorship today, as unconditional love for other people. And I also have the region's description of the tools. And I would like to read the tool of sponsorship. Sponsorship for OA members who are living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the rest, to the best of their ability. They're willing to share their recovery with other members of the fellowship and are committed to abstinence. I would like to say that I used to think, well, I work the steps. Well, how come I'm not happy all the time? I did the steps. And I hear people say that today. I can't get my abstinence. I did the steps. The steps are not something that we did past tense. The steps are something that we do. And the reason that I want to share that with you is I do step one and step six every day. When I open my eyes in the morning, I ask myself, what do I have to do to be abstinent today? And one is follow my food plan, and two is to love others and not resent anybody, not have any hatred in my heart. Because I had 135-pound weight loss and 135-pound hate loss. And the degree of my abstinence today is a degree of the love that I have in my heart for other people. Step six says, am I entirely ready to give up these defective character? And for me, step one says, am I entirely ready to follow my food plan? In other words, am I truly, honestly a food addict? Am I truly and honestly powerless over food? And after many years, I used to call myself a relapse survivor. Many years of many relapses and food slips. It's going on 5 years in November, December. That the obsession and the compulsion to overeat has been removed. I'm recovered alcoholic, and I was told, and I said that I want the same recovery in AA, in OA that I have in AA. And they said, no, you're not going to get that in OA. It's not the same. Well, my big book tells me it is. And I'll read to you pages 84 and 85, bottom of page 84. We have ceased fighting anything or anybody. Okay, no anger, no hatred, even food. I follow my food plan. Sanity will have returned. That's sanity for me. Okay, being restored to sanity is following a food plan and not hating anybody. We are seldom interested in food, it tells us. We recoil from it like a hot flame. When I think of Thanksgiving and I hear people shudder because it's Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving is just another Thursday for me. I have protein, I have vegetables, and I have fruit. Very little carbohydrate because I'm addicted to carbohydrates. And also, I'm addicted to volume, eating more than I'm supposed to. We recoil from it like a hot flame. I recoil from foods that are not on my food plan, like a birthday or any kind of a party. I don't serve the food at that party. I have other people do it. I don't want my hands in it. I don't want my fingers in it because I recoil from it like a hot flame. I'm placed in a position of neutrality. My food, my abstinence is neutral today. The problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. That has happened to me, but it's taken 43 years of keep coming back for that to happen to me. Getting back to my, what is it? Sorry about that. My reading. On sponsorship. They are willing to share their recovery with other members of the fellowship and are committed to abstinence. I'm 90 years old and I can't do very much. I can't jump in the car. I don't drive anymore. My son takes me to the doctor. There's very little that I can do, but I do have a purpose in life, and that's to tell other people they don't have to suffer anymore. So they are willing to share their recovery with other members of the fellowship and are committed to abstinence. Amen. I'm willing to be here and share my recovery with you and tell you you don't have to suffer anymore. We ask a sponsor to help us through our program of recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. I don't sponsor people physically anymore, but I recommend that if they're looking for a sponsor to go on a vision for you, because there's so many sponsors on a vision for you. If you tell them you need a sponsor, you'll get 10 phone calls. That's what I tell them. And they'll work the steps with you. They'll take your food and they'll work the steps with you. So they work the physical and the emotional. I believe working the steps is working the emotional part of it as well. I work the spiritual part with people. I spiritually sponsor a lot of people. And why do I do that? Because it's taken me forever to find the secret of OA. And the secret in OA is that we are the underbelly of all our addictions, whether it's substance or behaviors, is our thinking and the illusion of control. I learned that in Al-Anon. You know, an alcoholic is addicted to alcohol, but an Al-Anonic is addicted to thinking and illusion of control. That's the addiction. That's the underbelly. And I found the secret in OA, and it's in steps 3, 7, and 11, about turning our will and life over to God. Step three says we turn our will and life over to God. How do we do that? We do step 4. We write down our resentments, every single one of them. And step 7 says, I humbly ask God to remove my shortcomings. Just like I say, I'm entirely ready to give up my food. And I tell you what I do. I purchase my food. I prepare my food. I plan my food. I proceed to eat my food every day. I don't buy the food that I'm going to eat today. Today, my food's already purchased and most times already prepared. Like if I buy a chicken, I'll divide it up into pieces and freeze most of it, and then just take out a 3 or 4 ounce piece like that. My food is always ready. I don't wait till the day. The same thing with step 6. Am I entirely ready to give up my defects of character? Yes. And how do I do that? I do step 7. I humbly ask God. And guess what? Once I humbly ask God, it becomes a shortcoming. It's not a defect anymore. I don't have a defective character anymore. I have shortcomings because I'm human. You know, we're all human and we live with our shortcomings. You know, if I'm angry about something that's happening in my life today, it's a 10-step issue. It continue to t 10, 11, and 12. Again, I'm talking about, I didn't just do the steps or I did the steps. I live the steps every single day. So 1 and 6 are always there with me, and 10, 11, and 12 are second nature. If I have a food thought, I'm not, it's a 10-step issue. Knowing all that food does to me, how I di do I dare pick up that first compulsive bite when I know that there's an underlying issue? It's either I'm angry about something going on today, like money, or a 4th step recurring, mother, father, you know, husband, brother, abuse. I suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. And these things do come up. My 4th step does come up from time to time, and I'll tell you why. Because what I've learned is a person that's has post-traumatic stress disorder, they're so traumatized as a little child that the neural pathways of the brain are damaged. Just like I'm powerless over alcohol and food. I'm not just a compulsive overeater and have an eating disorder. I am a food addict. So there's a chemical imbalance in my brain for alcohol and for food. So that's chemical, physical. But a person with post-traumatic stress disorder has the emotional, the neural pathways of the brain are damaged, and the chemicals in the brain. I have to take
5 minutes.
Thank you. I have 5 minutes left, Teresa.
Yes.
I have to take antidepressants because, as many times as the doctor tried to take me off because I'm in a good spirit all the time, it's a chemical problem. It's not a mental problem. So I do take antidepressants today because the neuropathways of my brain have been damaged, just like my, and I'm powerless over that, you see. Okay. We ask a sponsor to help us in the program of recovery on all three levels. And like I said, I do the spiritual piece because I found the secret. And the secret is that it's our thinking that we're addicted to. In AA, they say it's not just the drinking, it's the thinking. You can put down the drink, but you can't put down the think. Just like I believe that putting down thinking is harder than putting down food or alcohol. Of course, it's there all the time. So what do I do about it? I've meditated. I've been a meditator since, well, I'm 90 years old. So since 1960, I've been meditating. And I respect and love all the people in all the different religions, all of them. Catholicism, Christianity, Buddhism, Judaism, all the, even the beautiful, there's an OA, which is secular OA, where they do not have a God of their understanding. They use the energy in the rooms, the fellowship in the rooms is their higher power. I love this. I'd love to read this to you too. It's in the big book on page, it's in the chapter Tightrope and the fourth edition, the AA Big Book, page 367. I was able to accept the idea of a force that moved in the rooms and animated AA members with a sense of unconditional love. That's the God of my understanding today. I don't have a particular name for God. Although I don't discount the beautiful names that people give to God, because I believe in all those names. I believe in all those entities and all those spirits. But I have reached a point in my recovery where my higher power is a higher consciousness. It's a divine spiritual energy that is within me. And the more that I mindfully meditate, what that means is do not allow myself to think. Okay? I live in my intuitive knowing, not my monkey mind. See, my monkey mind lives in the past and the future. It regrets the past and it worries about the future. I don't allow myself to go there. Just like I don't pick up that first compulsive bite of food or that first drink, I don't pick up that first negative thought. Because as soon as a negative thought comes to me, I breathe in and I breathe out. And I breathe in and I breathe out. And I go to that place of, I call it nothingness, silence. None of my five senses are being used. I can't see it. I can't hear it. I can't smell it. I can't touch it. It's total silence. It's like picturing a blank screen of a TV. I breathe in and I breathe out. And I go to this place, which I call nothingness. And in that silence and in that nothingness, I've learned is where God's first language is, because God speaks in that silence. And as the day goes on, my intuitive knowing knows what to do, because that beautiful divine spiritual energy from mindful meditation strengthens my intuitive knowing. In other words, I used to hate my, I'll close with this. I used to hate my disease. 135 pound weight loss, 135 pound hate loss. The 135 pound hate loss, I used to call her my disease and I hated her. I don't hate her anymore. Guess what? She saved my life. She ate and ate and ate because we didn't know what to do. But today, if she has a food thought, I put my arm around her shoulder and I say, honey, we don't do that anymore. We have other ways today. We have a program, we have people that'll be there for us. We don't have to pick up food, which is our poison. We don't have to place ourselves in a position of suffering. Pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. When I go to the supermarket and I see someone, I think that's my time. I'll close with this. When I go to the supermarket and I see somebody that I don't like, someone that has hurt me in some way, because I'm very sensitive, I used to avoid them and not go down that aisle. But today, I go down that aisle purposely because I want to practice the principle of love. I don't like them. I'm not being a hypocrite, but I bow to the God within them. My son is a black belt. He taught me that. They bow to each other. They bow to the God within. And I say, hello, how are you? Thanks, everybody.